amithejerk1310 at gmail.com is where you can send those scenarios. We have a good one. Before I get to it, I do have one that's been on my mind for the last couple of days, and I feel I know the answer. I just want to make sure. So I don't know how you guys are about funeral processions, like when you're on the road. Like usually they are all on side roads and not on main thoroughfares. So if the procession is going the same way I'm going, I'll pull over, I turn down my radio, I'll take a hat off if I'm wearing it, respect the dead. If it's on the opposite side, I do the exact same thing. Pull over, wait until the last car is done, turn down the radio, respectful of the dead.
On the interstate?
Now here's the question. On the way home Tuesday, because we were in Fort Worth,
right,
doing the show at Zaxby's, on I-20, there was a funeral procession, and it was in the middle lane of the freeway. One, it's four-lane freeway. It was in the middle left. The hazard lights on. The hearse is in the front. They have a couple of cops in front of them also.
You ever by Mountain Creek?
Yes.
A bunch of them over there because of the military cemetery.
And while I feel like I am very respectful of the dead and the funeral procession, they weren't going to speed limit. And they weren't over in the far right or in the middle. And I felt like going the speed limit was the respectful way of passing them. But I did take an earlier exit because I was going to have to pass the hearse toward the front. So I took an earlier exit about two exits early and then kind of went the back way to my house.
So when my father-in-law passed a couple of years ago, when I first started working with you guys, we did this exact thing. Like we did the procession down 20 to Mountain Creek. And there was a couple of times where we were not in the right lane and it felt like that was the right move. And I can tell you, most people were not respecting anybody. They were blowing by us at 75.
And I feel like the interstate is a different ball game than a side street.
And you shouldn't, honestly, it feels kind of weird that they get on the highway.
That was my thinking.
As we're going over there from where we had the funeral, I'm like, I know five different routes that we could take. They would take pretty much the same amount of time. You never have to get on a highway.
And especially when you do have the police escort, it makes it seem like, okay, am I doing something wrong here?
Dude, and
by
they,
passing them?
Those guys love it. This is their time to be the most official they can possibly be.
Because they can zoom by it. They have to wait till they get to the back and then just kind of rev it up. Yeah. So I felt like a jerk. That's why I exited two exits early from my house and went the back way to my home because I was about to go up there and pass the hearse and I just didn't want to do it. But I do feel like the interstate is a different set of rules than the side streets.
It is. If I see one on the interstate, I pass it.
And there were a lot of people who did not pass it. They were just kind of lagging behind it. And, you know, traffic was building up a little bit, not too much.
I mean, basically, I kind of think when I'm dead, zip by me. I don't care. So.
Well, yeah, I'm pretty sure the person in the casket doesn't care.
Right.
But it's more about me and my how I approach it anyway, and then approaching it on in a different story on the interstate.
I mean, you got to, if it's side streets or not the interstate, then of course you're supposed to yield and all that type of thing. And you don't cut it. You don't, you know, you pull over if you possibly can, if it's safe to pull over and just let them pass. That's what you're supposed to do. But on the interstate, I think it's different.
Difficult to do. Okay. I traveled. This is an email, not for me. I traveled this past weekend to Miami Beach, Florida for a short trip with a random old acquaintance. I usually fly with one of the discount carriers for the cheap prices. That being said, I purchased three round-trip tickets for the two of us so we can have the road to ourselves. On the flight to Miami, I explained to the gate agent I had two boarding passes for myself and one for the random. The gate agent scanned all three boarding passes, and we had no issues with the flight. It was great for me to have the aisle seat legroom, the random to have the window, as she requested, and the empty seat in the middle for extra arm room. The flight back is where I may have or may not have been the jerk. It was Sunday and the boarding area was quite busy as expected. When it was our turn to board, I presented the gate agent with all three boarding passes and explained the same as I did before on the first flight. I had three boarding passes for the two of us. The gate agent said no problem, but only scan two of the three boarding passes. I asked him to scan the third, but he said there was no need. Now time for the issue. The plane was completely full, besides the seat between me and the random. When the cabin doors were about to close, here comes a young lady, mid to late 20s, walking down the aisle. She walks right up to where I'm seated and says, "You're in my seat. I have 15D. I explained to young lady that I had purchased all three seats and showed her all three boarding passes. She asked if she could sit in the middle seat, and I explained again that I had purchased all three seats for the comfort and extra room. The young lady stormed back to the front of the plane and talked with the stewardess. After a couple minutes, the flight attendant came to me with the boarding manifest and asked to see my boarding passes. All the while, the entire plane is loaded and ready to go besides this one person and me standing my ground on the seats I purchased. I explained to her the situation, how the gate agent did not scan my third boarding pass. The flight attendant said, okay, and walked back to the front of the plane. The young lady exited the plane, and the plane's doors closed behind her, leaving her stuck in Miami International waiting for the next flight, I'm assuming. This is all I've been thinking about for the past few days. Am I the jerk? Should I have given up the seat I paid for and moved to the middle seat?
No, unless the airline's going to reimburse you, which you probably could have worked out. But if you bought it ahead of time, I mean, it seems like on the surface that it's a jerk, but you bought the seat. So that sounds like a standby where the gate agent's like, oh, there's an empty seat,
put them on. Yeah, but that gate agent who didn't scan the boarding passes that you have, said, oh, no, no problem. And then they thought they were going to give
that's
a seat
That's the issue
up.
Right there.
That's it's on the gate issue. Agent.
The gate agent and airline are the jerk in this situation. There's a, like, I'm with you. Stand your ground. You purchase those seats. But that person is stuck in another city now.
I mean,
that's
to me,
really bad.
That's the airline's problem, where I wonder if he had said, look, I bought this seat. If she needs to get on this plane, that's fine with me. But y'all need to
give me my money
back.
That's where it should have gone, right there. It's like, get your money back. Own your seat. Do your deal. But that sucks that that person got left behind.
And I probably would have said that, even though, all right, you know what? I'm giving up the comfort of the seat that I bought. But if I get my money back, you can sit down.
Right.
And I wonder how long that would have taken, or, you know, or anything like that. That's probably what I would have done. But if you bought all three seats and they're yours.
Yeah, I mean, maybe you could have negotiated with the girl, but how much cash you got on you? Because this seat right here is $500. And, hey, whatever. How bad do you need it? It's like when...
Man, she's on standby. She thinks she has a seat and she's going home.
Because it's not necessarily her fault.
No, she has nothing to do with it.
And she's the one paying the price. Because the airline doesn't care. Once that plane's gone,
the seat is sold. They don't care. But then, standby, there's a seat. But yeah, the gate agent is totally the jerk there for not scanning that boarding pass.
Yeah, you are a big jerk. It helps this person in the future if that happens. Be like, hey, I've had this happen before. To where it wasn't scanned and it ended up being a problem because they tried to fit somebody in the seat that I had already purchased.
Just
so if you could please
scan the board
pass, right? Yeah,
man,
that's a really interesting.
It's a dilemma that I probably would have bowed down and said, "Okay, you can."
I would have caved.
I probably would have also.
There's no way, man.
I don't know how long the flight is. I mean, I would have definitely tried to get my money back from that seat. But if she's kind of looking like this, stand by, and this is it, and she's stuck at the airport, I would scoot over. I probably would, but that's me. And I'm not saying he should have done that. He totally was within his right just to say, hey, I paid for this seat. This is mine. There's nothing I can do about it, but I'm soft. I would have caved. All right. I personally hate all the phones recording concerts instead of just watching. Two questions.
Did
one.
You send this to yourself?
No, I didn't. One, am I a jerk for hating all the little screens in front of my $300 seat when I'm trying to watch the concert?
You
and
are
two,
not. No.
Am I a jerk for requesting my girlfriend to put her phone away during a concert, which did not go well for me?
Not talking about this.
It is shocking to me, and I don't get it at all. It blows my mind. Maybe we just, like the younger generation,
maybe
they really
old.
Do go back and look at those things and be like, wow, that sounds like crap that I recorded this on my phone and watched an entire concert through my phone. But I don't get it. It's bizarre. It's bizarre that you would pay money to go to a concert, and instead of enjoying the live that you're seeing, you want to watch it through a tiny screen.
But that's... not even just a
but
concert.
That's your prerogative.
It's a sporting event. It's everywhere you go now with the phones. You want to document it. But the one thing that gets me, and I don't care. You can call me old man. I will never change my mindset on this fact that someone will have their phone turned around from the action, recording themselves singing while the concert is going on in the back. You're not even looking at what's happening in front of you.
Yeah, but they want all their friends to know they were there and like, look where I am. I'm here. I'm proving that I'm here.
I don't understand why you're going to go back and watch to see yourself singing.
They're not. It's for their friends.
China from Chris Brown.
So they can be like, oh my God, I got 27 likes on the reel that I posted at the concert. That's kick ass.
When he's on the stage singing the same thing and you could sing it towards him while watching it. And that was going on.
I don't get it at all. It's really
all the
sad.
Time at the last show I went to.
I mean, I do understand if people want to pull their phone out to take a picture or record like 15 seconds or whatever, knock yourself out. But I mean, there are people that will sit literally.
Yeah.
Watch their phone for an hour and record the whole damn thing.
And then put it up on TikTok as a live stream.
Or Facebook silly. Or whatever. Or
Discord, whatever.
Are there people at home saying, man, I couldn't afford to go to the show. Let me see it through this phone's perspective because I'm not there.
I'm sure.
You're not getting anything out of that.
I'm sure there's something. There wouldn't be so many people doing it if there wasn't any traction.
Boy, now the people bringing their special lights too. It's so lit up in that place.
Let's just be like Jack White. Check them when you get there, and then if you don't like that, you don't have to go to the show.
More and more people need to do that.
People freak out though. Now there are some artists that definitely want the engagement, the social media engagement, because it. Oh my gosh, that looked cool. I'll go to that show when he comes to town, and it may add a little bit to it if you're on the fence and you'll see a reel or two about it. So I can understand that. But man, I don't get it. I don't get it. And they have the floor seats and it's very expensive and it's all watching through your phone when you're right there.
It's wild. It is definitely a different thing, man. It's not for me, but
the youngsters. The youngsters.